I'm reading from the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Now the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for thy wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah, and he went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. But Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it unto them. But Jonah was gone down to the innermost parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He must have been a good sleeper. I never have gotten over that. A fellow must be a long way backslider that can be running from God and sleeping as hard as he was sleeping. I don't understand it. Looks like he'd have walked the floor and pulled his hair all night long. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. They said, Everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What is this that thou hast done? For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of Jehovah, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do to this unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth to the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto us. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to the land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Jehovah and said, We beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish with this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Jehovah, hast done as hath pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. Then the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah and made vows. Now this is the text. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. You know, Jonah was on a ship, and he was rocking. He was the fellas rocking the ship. Those wicked men went rocking. He was out of the will of God. Any man out of the will of God sooner or later rocks any ship on which he's sailing. Educational, ecclesiastical, commercial, political. When you see a ship on its way to a port that's rocky, there's always somebody responsible for the rocking. Every ship that sails toward a port to which God purposes that ship to sail will get to the port unless somebody rocks it. America's filled with education institutions. Ships that have been set on the sea of what we call scholarship and training. And they've done fine until the ship began to rock. And it never got to port. And couldn't get to port. because somebody was on there that shouldn't have been there. Now, for the last few days, I've been talking to you about errors and perils that we're facing in our modern life. I spoke to you the other day on a substitute for God, an it for Him. I'm going to speak to you again in a day or two on the wrong motive that we're tolerating. Not only tolerating, but encouraging in Christian work. Today I want to talk to you about a religious softness, an anemic sort of an attitude. Now here was a man on a ship with pagans that had their gods. And he was rocking their ship. God's man rocking a ship on which pagans were saved. Isn't that terrible? God's man. Called of God. Anointed of God, a prophet of God. He is a prophet. He was a prophet. Running from the will of God. Factually. Off pitch. Rocking a pagan ship. You know, it's a tragedy in our world when you think about it. God has people around the world. The world can't go to hell as long as God has some people in it. It can get close to hell. But as long as some man of God walks this earth, true to Jesus Christ, there's always a restraining power in the world. God's one child holds back. The flood couldn't come till Noah got in the ark. God Almighty held back the storms till then. But no ship can ever reach port. When some backslider rides that ship trying to run from God Almighty, the boat rocks. Oh, how it's rocking today. Education. Schools that started Christian. Schools that were right. How it's rocking. Churches, how they rock. Getting nowhere and talking big. Sailing towards a port they never reach. What a world. But you know, the trouble's not with the ship, and it's not with the man on the ship. It's with the folks that run the ship. These folks had enough sense when they found they couldn't get to port to throw the man overboard that was responsible. Jesus said the children of this world are wiser. In that generation, the children of light. They did the right thing. We do the soft thing. Get a modernist in some seminary teaching. Well, they say we have Dr. So-and-so here. He's a good man. And we'll keep this other man here, you know. Maybe he'll come around, you know, most young men in their lifetime go through these stormy, disturbed periods. But they eventually come around, you know, and give them time. Isn't that smart? Young doctors practicing medicine. Giving his patients poison. People say, well, give the young doc time. Maybe eventually he'll come around all right. You know, young doctors are very venturesome sometimes. Give him time. But you keep taking him to the graveyard while you're giving him time. A teacher in some university, a seminary, a school distributes poison for education. Gives them a shot of religious liberalism. Gives them some of the religion of the world for Christianity. And
they say, well, brethren, don't wash your dirty linen in public. Let the brothers stay there and just be quiet, and eventually we'll get them cleaned up, you know. Just give us time. We'll get it fixed. You know how much time you need? Just time for one good kick, that's all. You know what else you need? Just a good kicker. That's all. The world won't let them rock their boat. We Christians are so sweet and so suave and so soft, we let them rock. Say, dearly beloved, eventually we hope that maybe some circumstances will develop, or some tragedy will come about, or some of your loved ones may die and break your heart, and in the darkness you'll come back, but the ship keeps rocking. And usually if that fella does get back, he leaves somebody his place to keep rocking. And they keep a succession of ship rockers. I admire these pagans. They said, we can't get to port. We've been patient about it. Jonah's on here. We just have to throw him overboard. It's better for a backslider to drown than it is for us, all of us. He's running from his God, and we're crying unto ours. We've asked our God to show us, and he's running from his God. Throw him overboard. A man that runs from his God deserves to be thrown overboard. What we need in this nation is some red-blooded, old-time, courageous religion. Every education institution in America has ever been damned by religious liberalism. And every seminary has ever been damned by religious liberalism. Always it's come about because too many people are too soft. Talk about intolerance. Why, we've got it in government. Got up here a man and woman, traitors to that country. Folks carrying banners. Don't kill them. They ought to be killed. Any man that betrays this country when mothers are giving their sons to die on battlefields ought to be killed. They ought to be hung, men and women. We are soft as a nation. And Christians are asking, I don't think we should electrocute them. We shouldn't hang up. But they rocked the ship, and our boys died. And men like that rock the political ship always, but, well, you know, it's too bad to hang a woman. Why, she's got a neck just same as a man. Hang a woman. Some of the meanest people ever lived on earth were women. That's so. God Almighty will send the woman to hell like a man. Don't slander God. Now, God, you shouldn't set a woman in liquid fire. She's too sensitive to flame. All right, take these old tough men.
and throw them in burning brimstone, but not these dearly beloved, refined, gentle women. What do you listen? All this talk is just the result of a low standard. It's soft, soft. If a woman's guilty of the same offense that a man commits, hang on. We've got to everywhere. We shipped a student from Bob Jones University several years ago, and you ought to have seen a letter I had from a preacher telling me what my duty was and what Bob's duty was to a student. We should have kept this student here 4 years and tried all we could to help him. Never mind how much harm he did. Might have damned some other mother's son. Might have wrecked the life of some girl whose mother prayed her here to Bob Jones University. They never think of those folks, you see. They don't think of the folks on the ship that the sinner's rocking, see. They think of the sinner that's rocking the ship. It's a dirty, rotten tolerance of evil that's got hold of us. Jonah got what is coming to him. God Almighty wanted to have a submarine there to take care of his backslidden child. Let God take care of him. I have a little respect for Jonah. He told him to throw him over. The modern Jonas stay in the pulpits and want to run the church. They stay in the seminary and want to teach. Stay in college and want to run it. That type of a backslider is not as bad as the ones I've met in my lifetime. I've seen up and down this country. Double-cross God Almighty, double-cross the prayers and faith of loved ones, strut by inflated ego, stick out by inflated chest filled with pride, and talk about academic freedom. I never heard a man in my life going around all the time hollering about academic freedom that wasn't up to something dirty. Why, anybody can teach mathematics. Jew, Catholic, Protestant, atheist, pagan, infidel. What's academic freedom got to do with teaching mathematics? 5, 3, 4. Anybody can teach that. Anybody can go into a laboratory and let the scientific test and he knows how. Doesn't even have to mention that. Anybody can sit down and say, this great general led an army to battle at a certain time. But these academic freedom boys don't want to take the academic subjects they teach and teach them. They want to hitch on to that academic subject, that damnable, rotten, hellish philosophy, and perpetrate it in the world and wreck institutions of learning. They want to put communism over in some place. They want to shatter faith somebody in the Bible. Let them build their own infidel school. If a man wants to start a school for atheists under our system of government, let him start it. But God Almighty save us from these sore religious folks. Say, we must show forth the Spirit of Jesus and be very patient with us. Jesus was sympathetic toward the fallen. Kind and tender and compassionate with little children. But there's never been such language fell from anybody's lips as fell from his lips of condemnation upon religious leaders that he said wouldn't go into the kingdom and wouldn't let anybody else. You read the woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you.
You read where it said, whited sepulchers, generation of vipers. They were rocking the ship. And you know something? God's going to eventually get his ship to the port. And if we leave anybody on there till they get to the port, he's going to send them to hell. We ought to throw them off now and let the ship have as calm a sea as possible. All the guns on hell's battlements couldn't stop the early church till he got him inside, got him in there. Some deacon or steward or elder or vestryman or Dr. Vinnie said, "Now, brethren, you know this is our denomination, you see." And he was to be exceedingly careful here not to wash this dirty linen in the public. Well, Jonah got a good washer. Salt water, I reckon. But he had enough of it. I wish I could have watched them throw him in. And I wish these modern religious leaders had stood there and watched him. Took him in and said, "Give me a lift. Goodbye, Jonah. Don't go rock our ship. We tried to be patient with you. We're going where we started." God Almighty said amen by calming the sea. And Jonah said, "I deserve it." That's the reason God took care of it. God will take care of a backslider that will confess. But you know, they couldn't fix that thing. The only way they could fix it was a violent method. Sometimes you can fix a thing, but some things you can't fix. Man comes into court and says, "Your Honor, I killed that fella. Cold blood. But the other day a fella came down to jail, prayed with him. I'm so sorry I killed him. There's a little more. There's a little children. Now, Your Honor, it's all done. I'm awfully sorry. I won't you let me go home to my wife and baby?" The judge said, "Law's been violated. The judge, there's no way to fix this thing except according to law. You can go to heaven when you die. Jesus died for you. Trust him as your Savior. Serve God in prison for life. Might have let you hang, but since you seem to be right, I'll let you go to penitentiary for life." The judge couldn't turn every fellow. Everybody in jail would repent if he'd get out like that. There wouldn't be any more hangings in this country. You'd have the country filled with criminals like we've got a good many of them now. But they'd be crowding the highways of America. Turn loose! Because there's no red-blooded justice in America. Some of that underworld gang are running our cities now. They couldn't fix this thing as long as Jonah was on. They tried to get to port, but they just couldn't make it, see? Jonah was going one way and God another. Now, you know you have to go God's way to do anything. When you walk, you have to walk God's way. God gave you two legs. Now, how long did you walk on your hands with your feet stuck up in the air? You might do that for a stop for a little while. God gave you two legs. Fix the law of gravitation. You have to go God's way to walk. You have to go God's way to see. You have to go God's way to hear. You have to go God's way to get to the port in life that God would have you reach. They couldn't get there that way. There wasn't anything to do but throw him over. Now, the last point I want to make before we pray is this. Whatever is necessary to do, that's what you ought to do. Violent? All right. Expel from the school? All right. Fire from an organization? All right. Kick them out of the pulpit? All right. Whatever is necessary. Whatever necessary is necessary to do to make the thing right, that's what we ought to do. No questions asked. Listen. You can't make the thing right in the wrong way. There's a right way to make a thing right, and we are trying to make some things right in the wrong way. Woman said,
course, my pastor doesn't believe like I do. He doesn't really think Jesus was born of a virgin. He doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus. He ridicules that. He doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but he's such a nice, sweet fella. I'm so devoted to him.
You are?
Well, Jonah was a nice boy. He wasn't bothering anybody. Down there sleeping. Not excited. He wasn't panicking.
I can't think of a nicer fellow than Jonah.
When they accused him, he said, I'm the one. Throw me over.
You can't find much wrong with Jonah. Except he was rocking the ship. I know some fellas that are nice fellas. But you can't let a sweet fella, however, he can drool sugar. Just drool it. And they usually do drool it. Not vinegar, sugar. They operate that way. But you can't let that kind of fella rock a ship. And before we sign up students for next year, I want you to know that Bob Jones University isn't going to let anybody rock the ship. When we locate it, whatever's necessary, we're going to do it. 26 years ago, God set this ship sailing on a little sea. We've had some storms. And we always have them in this world. But we are still on our way. We face the storms because when we face them right. I'll never forget the second year we shipped 40 students. Everybody said, even my wife, at this rate, we'll have to shut up before the year's over. And I got a little scared myself. I got to wondering what we'd say to the public. But those 40 went away. Now, 40 folks, when you have them, but about 200, can do a lot of rocking. If one man like Jonah could cause all that trouble, what will a student body of when the majority of them are not right go? And what would 40% of a faculty cause if one man can rock the ship? Listen, I'd like for us to do a little heart search. God set this ship sailing. Let's keep the flag up. When the storms come, there's always something wrong. I think the sea's more calm now than it's ever been. I told Bob Jr. over the telephone yesterday. I said, Bob, I think Bob Jones University is in the best condition it's ever been in the history of the school. I congratulate you, all the associates here, and the teachers, and the students. But a storm will come sometime. And as a founder of this institution, I'm asking you when the storms come and the ships can't make port, do whatever's necessary to keep the ship going. Never mind the cost. Never mind the price. Never mind the losses. There's nothing as bad as the ship sinking. And you better get to port short of a few men. And not to get a port at all. And if you have a tendency to rock the ship, ask God Almighty to help you get right and help us keep the ship going. Let's be faithful to him. Our Father, lead us by thy Spirit. Keep us true to thee. Bless this institution. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. We thank thee for the response and the hearts of the students and the cooperation of the faculty. For the friends of the school around the world, for the unusual things you are doing for us now, We thank thee for the things that have encouraged us so much in the mail, the letters we've had, the hundreds of applications for catalogs, and for the students that are coming in faster than ever have come in application this time in the history of the school. We pledge to thee anew our loyalty, Lord Jesus. We are imperfect men. We don't have perfect judgment. We are filled with so many limitations and infirmities and shortcomings. We confess to thee we haven't always been what we should have been. But we have endeavored by thy grace, as we call thee to witness today, we have endeavored to do what we told the public we would do since the school started. We've blundered sometimes, but we have blundered in our effort to carry out our pledge to the public who invested money in. Keep this school faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ. May it never turn back from the port to which it started. Give us thy grace and thy help and thy power, and help each one of us in his place or her place to be faithful to responsibilities. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.